talk the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Welcome into Coast to Coast, ladies and gentlemen. This is the first time we are here on the FM stream. My name is Trey Bettler.
And I am Xander Kovold. And man, Trey, it is great to be here in Studio A.
It really
is. New change of scenery.
It is. So if you're new to hearing Coast to Coast, we originally were on the C stream on Internet Stream, and we have just made the official jump over to Studio A and the FM stream. So now we are your Tuesday morning host to get you ready for your day. Today is March 5th, 2024. It is Super Tuesday. We got a lot of big things going on, but we're going to talk about the sports world, stay out of politics, because, Xander, I know you and I don't like to really get into all that, so we're
going
to...
Yeah, I think it's best we kind of stay away from there.
Exactly. So we're going to get into the sports world for you. We got a lot of things on the plate today this morning. We'll talk NFL for a little bit, get into some Mizzou basketball, the men's and women's, as we preview their game tonight. We'll talk about Mizzou softball. We'll talk about some college softball for a second or two, Mizzou baseball, college baseball in general. I'll talk MLS for a minute or so, and we'll talk college basketball. I mean, Xander, you see me. I'm repping Caitlin Clark today.
Yes, you got the Iowa Hawkeyes shirt on there, so you're definitely going to be a big talking point, especially with her record. She literally just set again, pretty much. It's pretty crazy.
It is, and we'll get more into it more as we get on with the show. We'll talk rankings, top 25 rankings, as those came out yesterday for both men and women's. Then we'll talk NBA, get a few quick hits on some things going on in the NBA. Talk college football. There was a poll that went out where they ranked the top 10 quarterbacks in all college football.
Oh, boy.
And I want us to look at this list and agree with it. I can tell you what number one is right now, and I don't agree with it.
Okay.
And number one they have is Carson Beck.
Oh, boy. That's going to be something we're going to have to talk about.
Yeah, so we'll talk about who's the best quarterback in college football, in your own opinion. We'll talk about EA College Football 25.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And then we will close our show with baseball.
That's definitely a big talking point for me as we get through the rest of the spring here. Baseball season's underway, so.
Well, we will jump straight on into the coverage on the NFL. We had the combine this past week. It was quite the combine. But, I mean, I think one of the biggest headlines coming out of the combine would have to be that Texas's wide receiver Xavier Worthy set the combine record with 4.21 for his 40 time. So that was definitely wild. John Ross had the previous record, and it was set back in 2017 of 4.22. So Worthy got 4.21, beat him by a second. But I'm telling you, man, these guys are fast. We got some fast players coming into the NFL.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, that's something I think almost every team should want on their team. They need those guys that can easily be able to run like that. And especially as a wide receiver, I mean, unbelievable. 4.21, that is crazy. I mean, if I were to do this, I bet you I'd run like a 5.30 or something like that. Look,
yeah,
like some of the offensive linemen.
Exactly. I've tested mine, and it's been like 5.4 or 5.3, something like that. So, you know, I'm not as fast as those receivers, so that's another reason why I don't play college football. I'm in the studio instead of at practice in the weight room right now.
And you know what? I thought that was pretty funny. I'm watching the video right now, and like literally right after Xavier Worthy finished running, he just kept running. He ran kind of like Forrest Gump, kind of
just keep on going,
and ran to a bunch of his other, I guess, not really teammates, but other people that he knows, and kind of was dapping them up. So
yeah, but I'll get into Mizzou in particular at the combine. Their on-field drills. Tyron Hopper did not participate in any of the on-field drills, but Darius Robinson did. He had a great week at the combine. He had a 4.95 on the 40, 21 reps on his bench press, a 35-inch vert, 9 feet 3 inches on his broad jump, and they did not report the three-cone drill or his 20-yard shuttle. So, I mean, Robinson was one of the big names going into the combine that we knew he could be a first-round draft pick if he had a good showing in his combine and if he has a good pro day. I know that the Chiefs talked to Robinson. I don't know if any other team did, but I'm telling you, man, the Mizzou's looking good right now. They got a lot of good teams talking to all the Mizzou players, and, you know, it's nice because, you know, some of these smaller schools like Mizzou, we haven't been good at football in a long time, and to have the opportunity to have some players go into the league and kind of represent, be like, yeah, I went to Mizzou, we're a good football school, that's pretty cool. So to see Darius getting a lot of good talk around his name, that's good.
Yeah, no, that you're absolutely right, Trey. And not only that, but Darius Robinson was such a huge part of this defense this year for Mizzou. I mean, when I'm saying he balled out, dude balled out on defense. I mean,
he did.
My goodness.
Sorry to cut you off, but like, wasn't he the one who got one of the first sacks in the Cotton Bowl? Like, he got the big play in the Cotton Bowl to start the defense?
I'm pretty sure that's how it started.
Like, first play for Ohio State, Darius Robinson's in the backfield tackling for a loss.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he is that good of a player, and any team will be lucky to have Darius Robinson. I am hoping the Browns get him, but I don't think we will because we won't be going for defense. We're going for receiver.
Hey, I mean, though, it would be a bad combination there with Isaiah McGuire.
No, it'd be pretty nice.
Going to be hopefully playing next year.
Yeah, he should be playing, so we're going to have to see what happens with that. Once again, for those of you who do not know, this is Coast to Coast, your brand new Tuesday morning show from 7:30 to 9. My name is Trey Bettler.
I guess I'm Zared Colwell. I guess we're doing this again.
I guess you are. but to get to know us just a little bit before we continue to go into it, my name is Trey Bettler. I am a huge Cleveland Browns fan. Cleveland sports is my team's, but of course we also love Mizzou sports. So we will talk all about that. Xander here, you want to tell them about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm a huge baseball nut. So I'm actually a huge Padres fan. But since we're talking NFL, I am also a Chargers fan. I grew up in the San Diego area. And that was my team for a while, and then they decided to leave us, like multiple other teams do, and I've stuck with them ever since. So,
yeah.
I also tend to get bullied about that a little bit, but you know, it's the gig when you get into the sports world.
Exactly, and you know, we'll switch to another player, Chris Abrams-Drain. He had a good day as well. He did not participate in the broad jump, 3-cone drill, or 20-yard shuttle. They did not report his bench press, but his vertical jump was 33.50 inches, and his 40-yard dash was 4.44. So, KAD had a good day. Jalen Carlisle's 4.50 seconds on his 40, 32.50 vertical, 10-foot, 5-inch broad jump. I mean, telling you, these guys are good. Ennis Rakestraw, 4.51 seconds on his 40, 10-foot broad. And then the one to note, I think, the biggest one to note is Cody Schrader.
Oh, yeah.
4.61 on his 40. He did not participate in the bench press. He did not participate in broad jump, 3-cone drill, 20-yard shuttle. He had a 33-inch vertical jump. I think the biggest takeaway from Cody Schrader is that he had the injury.
Yeah, no, it actually... If you kind of look at the replay of his second run, it actually kind of showed he ran slower, actually, a second time. And so you could kind of tell that something was wrong after that second one. He wasn't, like, completely in pain or grabbing anything to make it so obvious that he was injured. But seeing the notification that he hurt his hamstring, I'm pretty sure it was, I think it definitely kind of showed in that second one. So... hopefully Cody Schrader will be okay to participate down the road later. Cause let me tell you that kid's, we're talking about ballers out here. That kid is also another ball, certified baller.
I'm telling
my goodness, whatever team this kid goes to, he's going to be doing some special things.
He'll be an NFL all-star. He'll be a pro bowler at some point in his career. You just have to get him into the league. And so, I mean, the hamstring will hurt his draft stock, but, you know, to me, that's somewhat of a good sign because that means my Browns can end up taking him in the later rounds because I know they would. They need another the running back right now. The uncertainty with Nick Chubb's contract and any backup running backs, I know that Cody Schrader would be a heck of a addition to the team. And I know for your Chargers, I mean, you guys got Eckler, but
he's
gone. Eckler's gone, so I mean, you need somebody. So I mean, to add Cody Schrader to your offensive lineup with that firepower, I mean, that'd be a heck of a lineup too.
I mean, not only that though. I mean, with Jim Harbaugh though, I would not be shocked. Yeah. If Blake Corum does not get picked before the Chargers pick him, I could see Blake Corum getting picked by the Chargers.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think he's going to go high because he's a heck of a running back.
Yeah.
But you know, some of the mocks I've seen so far, he hasn't gone high. So I mean, it's really just a chance. It's really just a thing of
and,
who's there when the time comes, because we all know Caleb Williams is going one. Jaden Daniels 2, Drake May 3. Like, it's one of those three. And they may not be that exact order, but those three guys are going top three, your top five. So, you know, they'll be gone. Marvin Harrison will be gone. So,
yep.
I mean, and the funny part is we know that that's who's going up top. So, we're more interested in the Cody Schrader pick, the Blake Corum pick. I'm excited for J.J. McCarthy because he had a heck of a day at the Combine.
Yeah,
he played really well.
He looked like someone who, obviously, it wasn't.
He looked like a veteran quarterback.
He looked like a veteran quarterback out there, now, like Joe Flacco.
Now, I know. Now the thing to remember, he was throwing against air. However, he still looked good. So, you know, now we have to just kind of wait and see and find out where will McCarthy go, because I do agree he will end up with the Broncos.
I think that's the way the Broncos are going at this point. Those for you who may not know, Russell Wilson was just the
we were
Broncos
about to get into that.
Oh shoot!
No, you're good.
All right, well here you go. Perfect transition. Xander. Here we go.
Bring it up.
So just as of last night, the Broncos had reported that they are officially releasing Russell Wilson on March 13th.
Yeah, so they'll get rid of their 9-time Pro Bowler quarterback Russell Wilson. After a 2-season run, you know, the headline I gave for us on this sheet was Broncos country, let's cry. so, you know, Broncos will cut Russell Wilson and they will take on an $85 million dead money hit.
Yeah.
So they're going to need to find a new quarterback. Kirk Cousins is out there, but I think he's going to probably end up with Atlanta if Justin Fields doesn't go there.
Do you think Justin Fields is going to the Falcons?
I'd like to think so. I don't think he's going to be a Bear.
I mean, but the Bears organization has been so kind of. But
no,
it's weird
because they're making it sound to be like they want to run a 2-quarterback system of Williams and Fields and like that.
I don't get what their game plan is here.
I don't either. I don't know what Sean Payton's doing there. But I'll tell you this. I'm very curious to see where Russell Wilson goes. I know he's tied to like two teams that need a veteran quarterback that like Russell Wilson that can go after him are the Vikings and the Steelers. I'm praying it's not the Steelers.
I mean,
I'd be okay with the Vikings.
Would you also think that the Patriots would be one team? I mean,
because I think they're gonna go get Drake May.
Oh shoot, that's right. I forgot they're that high of a draft pick. You almost forget how, like, the Patriots just kind of just had, like, one of the worst seasons of all time.
Oh, I know. It's wild. But, you know, so, I mean, what's interesting to think about is that the dead money charge, this is the highest it has ever been. Like, this is the highest dead money charge in the league the Broncos are taking on. The second highest one was Matt Ryan's in 2022. When the Falcons let him go, and they had a dead money charge of $40.5 million. So, I mean, that's $40,000 more million. I don't know. But I'll tell you, man, I think it's crazy. The Broncos were so high on Russell Wilson, and it just did not work out the way it did. I don't really know what happened there. I mean, he was a heck of a quarterback. He was MVP caliber with Seahawks. And everybody thought, you know, it would transfer over. But, you know, I still think it is really just management and coaching where they let Russell Wilson control the team, and you can't do that.
No, I mean, not at any point should you let your quarterback. I mean, you have coaches, you have ownership, you have all of that for a reason, and you can't be letting this. And I get it, veteran QB, he's been out there, he knows what he's doing, but it hurt him in the end, and they had really, I mean, for Broncos standards, I mean, pretty bad seasons. I mean, they really did try to come back this year after they were like, what? Didn't they start off like 0-4 or something like that?
Yeah, and then they started playing really well.
Then they started kind of collecting themselves, and finally, they looked like a great team. I mean, and they still have the great those players. I mean, they still have Jerry Jeudy. I mean, Sutton has for sure been
Cortland
like
Sutton,
he had some monster catches this season. I mean, I remember watching the like top 100 like catches of the season. I'm pretty sure 20 of those was Cortland Sutton. So,
oh yeah,
I mean they have the players. They just can't find that QB.
Yeah, and it's so weird because you put Russell Wilson back there, you should have the quarterback. But maybe a change of scenery will do Russell Wilson good, because we'll see. As long as he doesn't tell whatever team he's playing for, let's ride. So
I think that was the curse of that.
I do too.
Those 2 years.
We'll look at a few other deals that are going on. I think one of the biggest names that signed a deal was Mike Evans. So Evans was supposed to be a free agent this year, but he's agreed to a 2-year, $52 million contract with the Bucs. So he will stay with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, I mean, with the deal, he has a real chance, you know, to be a Buccaneer for life. Evans is getting up. I mean, I don't remember exactly when he was drafted into the league, but 2014. Okay, so he was drafted in 2014, and you know, I mean, he's been there his entire career. He's been 5 Pro Bowls. Evans is that type of player. I mean, he is that guy for Tampa. So, you know, I mean, I have a good feeling Tampa's going to re-sign Baker because he did so well for him.
I mean, they should. I mean, Baker literally led this team to winning the division. And, I mean, and of course, I know the division may have been a little weak. But still, I mean, that's still tough to win any division in football. So
no, exactly.
And led them to the second round of the playoffs. They beat the Eagles. I mean, my goodness. Baker deserves so much more praise than like many of these other QBs.
I try to give it to him, and nobody wants to do it. But I mean, the issue is, as we all know, you can praise Baker, but he can't win you a game under 2 minutes, and so that's the issue. So, I mean, hopefully he can take that step, because I hope he does. I mean, I've been cheering for him since he came into the league, because my Browns drafted him. So, I mean, I'm a Baker bro. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, I mean, you did watch, like, what was he? Was he a Brown for, what, 3-4 seasons?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. 2018, I think. 2018 to 2021,
yeah.
Something like that. So, you know, we had Baker for a long time, but, I mean, I'm cheering for him. I know he's done real well, and I'm hoping to hear sometime in March that, I think it's next week when it all opens up, because today is the final day for franchise tags.
Oh, wow. At that point, huh?
Yeah, 3 o'clock Central Time today. Oh, wow. Franchise tags are done. So we'll have to keep an eye out for that, because and the reason I bring that up, and I know that, is because something I'm going to bring up in a minute about the Panthers. Going back to Mike Evans for a second, I mean, that takes Evans off the free agency market. I mean, they had T. Higgins on there, but he's off now. So, I mean, the big 4 receivers that are on the free agency market right now are Michael Pittman, Calvin Ridley, OBJ, and Michael Thomas. If you had to pick out of those 4, you could take 1 for the Chargers. Who are you taking? Because I can tell you with full certainty, the guy I take is Calvin Ridley.
I was actually just about to say the same thing.
And if not Calvin Ridley, give me Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
Because Michael Thomas played at Ohio State. He knows that Cleveland weather. He'd be a good Brown. The only issue is he gets hurt all the time.
No. I mean, to be fair, a lot of these, except for OBJ, would be any one of those would have been a great pickup.
And, oh, yeah.
I mean, Michael Pittman's great. It's just he's on the wrong team pretty much.
Well, he won't be now.
No, he won't. And I'm hoping with
unless
this new
Colts
change.
Sign him again.
Why? But the Colts, I mean, they don't use him. They use him. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, he's the best receiver on their team.
Yeah, pretty much.
He is their number one. So
I think he just needs a new change of scenery.
Look, if the Colts don't bring him back, then something's wrong with their organization.
Yeah, I mean, they're throwing away almost everything.
Yeah,
if they get rid of him, I would have to agree there. So
we'll move on from Mike Evans now. I'm going to go to the Panthers for a second. Panthers are... Some sources on ESPN are saying that the Panthers are going to move on from their corner, Dante Jackson. He was the 55th pick of the 2018 draft for Carolina. He was set to count $15.7 million against the cap, and he's due $4 million on a roster bonus. So they get rid of him. He's saving Carolina $5.9 million on salary cap, $10.5 million if there's a post-June 1st right designation. So, I mean, you know, they're trying to find a new corner, what they'll have to do to play opposite of J.C. Horn, who keeps getting hurt as well. But, you know, the Panthers are really trying to get as much cap space as they can. I mean, they're trying to rebuild their team, of course. I mean, they had the worst record in the NFL. They had a 2-15 record. But... I'm telling you now that I better see this happen today or I'm going to be pissed or I'm going to be upset is the fact that Brian Burns better be tagged by 3:00 this afternoon. Panthers need Brian Burns. I don't know how many times I have to say it. Brian Burns is the best player on the Panthers. No matter if it's offense or defense, he's better than Bryce Young. He's better than Adam Thielen. He is the best player on the Panthers. You cannot let him go. I understand that you got rid of all your best players. You got rid of McCaffrey. You got rid of, Cam left. You got rid of McCaffrey. Keekly retired. I mean, I understand that you don't have the team you used to have back in 2015 when you made the Super Bowl run, but you need a star player, and your two star players are Brian Burns and Derek Brown, and the defense is a good team. You have a really good defense. You need to keep these guys. Brian Burns, Frankie Louvu, Derek Brown, you keep those three guys, you're going to be good. I guess the issue is if they tag Brian Burns, that guarantees him $24 million. So they have to figure out, can they afford him? And I say you have to. I mean, if you want any sort of star power in your defense, you have to. I understand that you have J.C. Horn and Jeremy Chinn, who are great corners, but you need a linebacker or somebody on the line to tear through that offensive line. You need a Myles Garrett. You need a T.J. Watt. And Brian Burns is that guy for the Panthers.
Yeah, and not re-signing him is basically just like... And that's the problem with the Panthers organization is they're always looking towards the future, but every time they try to, they're always taking two steps back. So they can, if this continues, let's be real, the Panthers are not going to be a great team.
No, they're
for the
not.
Next 10, for the, could be the next decade.
All right, let's move on because I'm getting upset.
Trey, you literally live in North Carolina, so you have to deal
with
this
all the time.
Dude, I've
watched the Panthers for years. It's upsetting to me. I'm hoping they do something. They better sign Brian. I need him to sign Brian Burns. All right. We'll keep moving on. I think one of the biggest stories coming out of yesterday would be big old Kelsey.
And we're not talking about Travis.
Eagle Kelce. not Trav. We're going to talk about his brother Jason. Jason Kelce has called it quits. He's officially retired after 13 seasons. Jason Kelce, kudos to you, buddy.
Hey, man. What an absolutely great season. Great, not only that, great career. He got a ring. I mean, he is for sure. I mean, now, would you consider him a Hall of Famer type center?
Yes, put him in Canton right now.
Put him in Canton right now. Give him the invite. Give him all of that, and let's get that plaque there next season. But
I find it kind of funny. Trav was there at the at his retirement speech, and inside the auditorium, Travis was wearing sunglasses, so you couldn't see him grind.
Typical Travis. I mean,
but yeah, no. Jason was a 6th-round draft pick in 2011. He played his entire 13-year career with the Eagles, 7 Pro Bowls in 13 seasons, and he was named first-team All-Pro for the 6th time in 2023. He was a Super Bowl champion. He won with Nick Foles. So he's got a ring. He's got NFC division titles, NFC championship titles, Pro Bowls, All-Pro, first teams. I mean, he should go to the Hall, but, you know, that's not our decision, of course. But as J.J. Watt said, this is J.J. Watt's tweet. He goes, just go ahead and get the gold jacket fitted right now.
Pretty much. I mean, just tremendous what he did in those 13 years in Philly. And you know what? One thing, he stayed loyal to Philadelphia. Never decided to leave at all at one point.
Yeah, what I found kind of funny, though, and if you don't know Jason Kelce's story, it's very interesting, but it's hilarious if you do know his story, that when he went to Cincinnati, because Trav and Jason went to Cincinnati, the Bearcats, for college football, Jason was a walk-on running back for Cincinnati. And then he converted to guard, and then he converted to center. So it's a really good thing that he switched to center and guard, as he won a Super Bowl playing center. So, once again, bittersweet day for Eagles fans. Congrats, Jason Kelce, on a heck of a career. You know, the NFL world will miss you, but I can guarantee you that Jason will be at Travis's games shirt off. Again,
with his macho Libre mask on.
Hey, I'm here for
and
it.
And just getting absolutely just next having year, a little bit of fun.
Next year, home opener, I need Jason and Taylor Swift to chug 2 beers and then just start hyping up the crowd. That'll be great. So next thing we'll get into after Jason Kelce, little sad news. ESPN NFL reporter Chris Mortensen passed away at 72. Prayers out to his family. I know the football world listened to Mortensen a lot. He was on. Schefter went on. Adam Schefter, one of the NFL's leading reporters, was on Sunday NFL Countdown. Was saying an absolute devastating day. Mort was one of our greatest reporters in sports history and an even better man. Sincerest condolences to his family and all who knew and loved him. So when he did, Mort was the very best. He will be forever missed and remembered. So he was diagnosed with stage 4 throat cancer in January 2016. That's when he stepped away from his role at ESPN last year. So he has passed on. So we... our condolences to the family, but we all know that he is at peace now and not in any pain, so it'll be good, and that's good to note. Final thing for the NFL I want to bring up is this new onside kick rule that they're talking about.
First the kickoff rule, and now they're talking about onside kick rule?
Yeah, so it's interesting. The new kickoff rule crafted by NFL teams, special teams coordinators, say if you want to do an onside kick, you're allowed to attempt one only when you're trailing in the fourth quarter, and it would require teams to declare them in advance.
Well, that just basically gets rid of the whole surprise onside kick.
says if the kickoff team declares they attempted an onside kick, they potentially could be allowed to utilize an unbalanced 6x4 formation to raise odds of recovery. So just 5.2% of onside kicks were recovered in 2023, and there were just two surprise onside kicks due to run-ups being banned. So if this rule is approved by league owners and all that, the new rules would raise the frequency and success rate of onside kicks, raising the chances of late comebacks.
I think this is more of an NFL standpoint of let's make more of these games exciting. So if more onside kicks could get recovered.
Yeah, so it says the setup zone here, the kickoff and return teams would line up on the receiving team's 40 and 35-yard lines, respectively, and not leave until the ball is touched or reaches the target zone, which is a 20-yard line to goal line.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, again, this is just the NFL trying to come up with some things to make the game more exciting and more, you know, newish to fans and introducing new rules, and that's all part of the game. And there, again, also, it looks like I said, they're just trying to make the game more exciting so you can see more comebacks, basically.
Exactly. All right, so we're going to move from NFL... Xander, I think you know what time it is. Do you know what time it is?
I think I know exactly what time it is. But
welcome into Mizzou basketball, the circus of Mizzou basketball.
At this point,
those of you who don't know, Xander and I have been following Mizzou basketball all season, like most of us have been, and we have been talking all about it, and we have started most of our segments with Mizzou basketball being sad and depressed that we are losing. Now, Xander and I we've given up. So we're playing circus music for Mizzou basketball because we're clowns for thinking that they can win these games.
You know what, Trey? I think we're going to talk about Mizzou right here, but I gotta go to a quick station identification. You're listening to 88.1 KCOU.
Hello, this is Smushy, and you're listening to KCOU 88.1 Columbia.
And we are back.
Yeah, so it was just that quick. Something we do with station ID here in Studio A, so things just have to go that way, and that's just how we do it. So we will go to break in just a quick second, but we're going to actually talk Mizzou basketball first, and then we'll go to break. So like I said, Xander, you and I are clowns for actually thinking Mizzou was going to be good, could have won some of these games later in the season. I say this now, and they may win tonight, but I doubt it. Auburn's a really good team, and I love Auburn. I think they're a really good team, and I've been talking about them all season long. But record-breaking losing streak, first time program history, 16 straight. Will it be 17 tonight?
My delusional self is going to say yes.
Okay.
But my reality self is going to say absolutely not.
Exactly. So this past weekend they played Ole Miss at home, lost 84-78. You know, that's twice now that Ole Miss has almost coughed up a loss to Mizzou. First time they lost by, what, 3, I believe?
Yeah.
This time it was 6.
That was the first game in a while when they were up in Oxford where I actually thought
that we had hope
that it was going to be the first win. We were up by 10. That was the first time I've ever seen our team up by that much in a game. There was like 13 minutes left, and I thought, if that momentum continues, Mizzou is going to finally pull away, and they didn't.
Yeah.
It's a joke. We didn't. It's just been a big joke at this point.
Well, that's why I play the clown music, because it is a joke at this point. Sean East finished with 27 points. I mean, Connor Vanover did not play. He had a concussion?
Yeah, I believe it was a concussion, but let's be real here.
I mean, Aiden Shaw had 13, Tamar Bates 13, Sean East 27, Nick Honor 12, Jordan Butler had 4. And then Trent Pierce, nothing. Jesus Carrillero, nothing. Noah Carter, nothing. Majok had 2, and Anthony Robinson had 7. So, I mean, it was a bad night. Sean East continues to play well, but, I mean, that's been the story of the season. Sean East plays well, but nobody else plays well with him, and you can't win.
Nope. And I'm telling you, each game, there's always a script. And that script is basically Mizzou will start off the game kind of okay.
Yep.
We're either up or we're down.
Yep.
And then randomly we're not going to score for about 7 minutes. And then we will finally start scoring. And then we'll go to halftime either down by 2 or 3. Then you get to the second half. Then Nick Honor hits like 2 threes in a row. And we're like, okay, now we're fine. We might be back finally. And then all of a sudden we go on a 7-minute scoring drought again. And we just start keep fouling, can't get any rebounds, and by that point the game's over, and then we try to come back in the last like 3 minutes of the game, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I mean, it's something, all right. But I want to look at tonight's game against Auburn. It is a 8 o'clock tip off. Auburn is 11.5-point favorites. Let me tell you something about Auburn, Xander, because I've watched them all season. They're the 13th best team in the country. They got an 11-5 conference record. They're 22-7 total. They average 82 points a game. They average 47% from the field. So they basically shoot 50% from the field. And I want to talk to you about their last 5 games. Okay? Starting on Valentine's Day. They beat South Carolina by 40. Then they lost to Kentucky by 11. Then they beat Georgia by 21. Then they lost to Tennessee by 8. Then they beat Mississippi State by 15.
Do I see a pattern here?
Buddy, you put up 40 on South Carolina. I do see the pattern, but you never know. I mean, their first loss was at home. The second one was on the road at Tennessee.
Listen, if the basketball gods are telling anything
it's
right
March.
Now,
it is
it's
March.
March.
You never know.
That's all I'm going to say.
It is March.
It is March. There's hope.
There is hope.
At least for one game.
One more game. What are we doing to ourselves, man?
I don't know. And
91.3% to win Auburn. You going to go?
I think I should be there, honestly. I have other people. They're giving away hoodies. I mean, listen, it's senior night. It's the last game of the season. It's the last time I have
game.
To watch this team really live in person.
Yeah, you
so
might as well.
Might as well take
I'll
it in
busy,
one more time.
He'll be there for me. I'll be there in spirit with you.
Yeah.
I wanted to go see Auburn myself since I've been talking about him all year. It's like, all right, now I got to finally go see them in person.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that you've had to miss the last two games where they actually played really good ranked teams.
I
so.
Know. But if you do want to listen into the game, Aiden O'Connor and Ian Paprocki will be on the call on the C stream for the 8 p.m. tip-off. So that'll be good. Make sure you tune in for that. That'll be good. And then the other game I wanted to talk about real quick is tomorrow morning tomorrow afternoon, technically, 12:30 in the afternoon, Mizzou's women's basketball team will start their run to the SEC title. I don't think they're going to win. They played this team. They lost by 16 last time they played Florida. But this is a neutral site, so anything can happen, especially when it's tournament time.
That's all I can say. It's March.
Look, I got more faith in the women's team than I do in the men's team right now. So, you know, hey, 12:30, tip off, going to be a great game. But I think we're going to send it to break here.
Yeah, so, we're just going to do a quick break.
Once you are listening to Coast to Coast on KCOU 88.1 FM, my name is Troy Butler.
And I'm Xander Kobold.
We'll be back with you in just a second. And taking off is the Mizzou softball team. They are on a roll right now. You are listening to Coast, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Trey Bettler.
And I'm Xander Kobold.
And we are talking about Mizzou softball now. They had a heck of a weekend. They swept their series. They got the brooms out. Sweep them. They beat Wichita State 13-3 in game one. Game two, they played Missouri. Missouri played Nebraska, and they beat them 10-6. And then I believe they played Utah.
No. So basically, this tournament was specifically just three teams. It was Mizzou, Wichita State, and Nebraska.
Okay.
So then the next 2 days, they played the same teams again, and they beat them both again by huge margins. I mean, my goodness. And Nebraska actually started off the season ranked.
They did.
And we literally made them look pretty bad out there. So I'm telling you, Mizzou softball, and shout out to Coach Larissa, this team is looking already like one of the best teams in the SEC. And it's completely shocking. And it's so great to see, honestly.
Oh, it is. And come time for the College Softball World Series.
I mean,
we may be there.
I mean, I wouldn't go too far yet.
Not yet.
Still early in the season. I mean, they haven't even played a home series yet. So, speaking of which, Mizzou softball will open up their home stretch, I guess, this weekend against number 19 Auburn.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a good one. I highly suggest those of you watching and who are from Mizzou, please show up. I mean. This team is so special. I'll be there. Trey will be there. It's going to be something special. And honestly, they're doing way better than
the
baseball
team. What's the game again? Remind me.
So I believe it starts this weekend, Friday.
I think it starts Friday night.
No, actually, I'm pretty sure.
Friday afternoon. Yeah, like 3 o'clock, first pitch.
Like 2 or 3 o'clock. I mean, I'll be there.
Yeah, I'll be there for the first pitch.
I don't got classes during that time, so I'll be there.
Exactly.
And then they play, I think, noon Saturday. Okay. And then they play at like 1 or 2 o'clock again on Sunday. So.
All right. Well, I'll be there for at least one of those games.
Afternoon baseball. I mean, sorry, softball.
They're giving away mugs, too.
Oh. Well,
SEC mugs.
Well, there you go. I'm definitely going to be there for that.
Exactly. One thing I do want to mention is Oklahoma, a future SEC opponent for the Tigers in softball, just lost their 71-game winning streak. They have won 71 games straight. Last time they lost, let's see here. See if I can find this date. There you go. The last loss was February 19th of 2023. They'd won a whole year without losing. And the team that beat them was Louisiana.
That's all it took.
Pulled them off a 7-5 upset at Oklahoma. So in their own building, they lost for the first time in 71 games.
That was wild. I was going to say, I bet you all those Oklahoma fans left that stadium in just complete shock.
Oh, yeah.
100%. I think in the softball program, I'm pretty sure they don't even know what losing is. That was like a whole new feeling to them.
It sure is.
The thing is, and here's the thing with winning streaks like that, and very impressive there from Oklahoma, but you have to lose at some point, and that was that some point.
It is.
You play too many games in the season. You know that a loss is certainly going to be coming up. It takes one game for things to not go your way, and that's exactly what happened in this game. Things were not really going Oklahoma's way. Louisiana's offense, every time Oklahoma would come back, would storm back and take the lead again, and they hit a few home runs. And what was crazy is they did this not only at their stadium, at their brand new stadium at Oklahoma.
Yeah, so that was softball. We'll go to baseball. They had a very interesting up and down weekend.
You could say that again. Not only that, but just a weird week in general. I mean, starting off with SEMO 8-3 loss. Didn't even finish the game. The game got delayed and ended up getting canceled due to a lightning storm. A lightning storm.
Oh, yeah. I've been a part of one of those.
And
it's not fun.
Not even rain. It was just lightning. That was it in the area. And it went on the whole night, so they just called off the game. And then this weekend, they played Northern Kentucky, trying to storm back, and not the way that they thought it was going to go, but
They lost Friday. Saturday was one of the craziest score lines I'd seen in a long time, the 28-10.
That's a football score.
Yeah.
That's football.
Mizzou football.
Were they playing football?
I thought they might be.
I thought I saw Lou out there for a second. I mean,
I'm going to be honest, though. We were playing football, and I don't think Northern Kentucky was scoring 10 on us.
Yeah, I know. That's a little embarrassing there for Mizzou football. I don't think they would let that happen if it was actually the football season. But and then a very, very, very disappointing ending to the series on Sunday. Mizzou, I believe, was up like 14 or like 12-4, I'm pretty sure, at one point in that third game. They would end up losing that game 16-15.
Yeah, it was bad.
It's not a good look. So
if you do want to watch, there is a game today. I think they play Lindenwood today.
Lindenwood at 3 o'clock. Yeah, I was gonna say,
hey, you're on the call.
I'm not necessarily on the call, but
you're on pregame.
John Banks George and VJ are on the call there on CStream at 3 p.m. and you can listen in at 2:30 to Xander Kobold, which is me, and Matthew Gustafson. For the pregame and postgame show.
Yeah, so definitely tune into that. Xander will be on pregame and postgame. If you want to listen to the Mizzou Lindenwood game, that will be on the C stream, though. At the time, A stream will have Mizzou Sports Daily, so that you will be able to listen to that. If you want to listen to Mizzou Sports Daily, you stay on this channel. Go to the internet stream if you want to watch, listen to the Lindenwood Mizzou baseball game. I do want to look at the rankings real quick for college baseball, just because it's good to kind of know where teams are in that aspect. ESPN did an article of players to watch, and there's only two players on there, and they're both in the SEC. One's from Georgia, and that's Charlie Condon, a first baseman and outfielder. And the second one, you want to try to pronounce that for Florida?
Let's see here. Jack? Or is there Jack or Jace? I don't know which way you'd pronounce it. Cagliano?
All right. Anyway, top 25 rankings. We're just going to move on from that. Yeah, so Florida has a first baseman to watch. Georgia has a first baseman to watch. So when they come here, we go to them because I don't remember the schedule.
Well, actually, Florida and LSU are coming here this
Georgia.
Year. And Georgia. So, I mean, exciting.
It is. So Wake Forest is one. As we all know, Wake Forest is a really good baseball team. Wake Forest 1, Arkansas is 2, LSU 3, Florida 4. TCU is 5, Oregon State 6, Texas A&M 7, Tennessee 8, Vanderbilt 9, Clemson 10, East Carolina 11, Duke 12. I mean, Alabama's 15, Auburn's 19, South Carolina's 21, Texas 24. I mean, the amount of SEC teams I just rattled off to you.
I mean, and all these teams are very impressive, and SEC is known for baseball, so, I mean, a lot of guys go to the MLB from Vandy or just like Mr. Skeens right now playing on the Pirates.
The boy Skeens.
Skeens, yes. Trey Bettler is probably top pitcher or favorite pitcher in the MLB right now.
Heck yeah.
Hopefully going to get that. Probably is going to get that call up soon. So we'll talk about that more once we get the MLB. But
yeah, he had a good showing the other day when he was in the
Although he did kind of give up an absolute tank to Ahmed Rosario, but you know
he did,
but you know, hey, listen, it's the workings, it's the MLB,
it's spring training, it's okay. So we'll talk college basketball. The talk of college basketball, though, is who's on my shirt today. Passing Pistol Pete for the NCAA record, no matter if it's men's, no matter if it's women's. Caitlin Clark is the highest scorer out of all of college basketball.
It's
legendary,
truly, truly special what you're watching, folks, from Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes. She continues to absolutely dominate
Big Ten. Yeah, exactly. And she's broken all the records. So,
And might I say, not only just the Big Ten, mm-hmm. all of college women's basketball.
Oh, yeah. The only thing now is she's got to go get a ring.
Yep. She needs it, and
I don't trust this Iowa team. I'll talk more about them in a second.
But based on what happened last year, Yeah, I mean it's the later stages that's the problem, and
yeah,
they still got to deal with if they make it that far again. They still got to deal with.
Caitlin will score 40 and they'll still lose because the team can't score or they'll turn the ball over.
That's the problem. They don't have anyone else really. I don't want to say that she's carrying the team.
She is.
She's carrying the team
a little bit.
I mean, pretty much. I mean, they got a few other like notable players, but it's almost just like a my career where it's like
100%.
She's literally you're carrying the entire team, and then there's just a bunch of NPCs that are around her.
Yes. We'll look at the college basketball rankings. Top 25 for men. Houston's 1, UConn 2, Purdue 3, Tennessee 4, and Arizona 5. That's your top 5. Xander, my Tar Heels are 7. Your Aztecs are 21. You guys dropped a spot.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I understand why they did that. We literally only last week just played one game. They played one game last week, and then they just had the rest of the week off. They play tonight at 8 o'clock, 8 or 9 o'clock against UNLV.
Okay.
So it's going to be on the road, so it's probably going to be a tough game. It's a rivalry game. So
yeah, that'll be a big game.
We'll have to see how that goes. Hopefully they don't get upset, but we're kind of playing like Kansas, and
hey,
we're not
I
the best
it.
On the road. So
yeah, Tar Heels get to go to Cameron Indoor this weekend. They go play Duke.
Oh, boy.
So we'll see how that goes, and Duke's been rolling ever since the first game against Carolina this season.
And you know how they play at home. So.
Yeah, I know. I'm expecting the loss, but we'll see. But, I mean, I think the best thing, in my opinion, is seeing Kansas drop 7 spots down to 14 after another loss. So that's always nice to see.
Yes, sir. And hopefully another loss will be upcoming here pretty soon for them as well.
That's the hope.
I mean, they're 5th place in the Big 12, which is very surprising.
Yeah.
Going
to women real quick. I think the biggest story in women's college basketball, other than Caitlin Clark, is that Dawn Staley and her Gamecocks finished the 2nd straight perfect season. So, I mean, they are undefeated again 2 years in a row.
Not shocked.
They are that good.
I think, again, you could list them as favorites to win it all, but you know how these tournaments go, man. It's tough. And, I mean, they always fall short at the very end.
I mean, and I'm with you on that. And my article, actually, just for the women's SEC tournament preview just got posted on a KCOU.fm website. So if you want to go listen to if you want to go read that and see what I think about the SEC tournament, you definitely can do that. I mean, my pick is South Carolina to win because they are that good, and I've been following them all year. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But we're going to quickly get to the NBA and college football real quick. Actually, I think we'll save college football for after our break basketball.
Yeah.
NBA, real quick. LeBron, 40K. What a night.
Yep. Again.
I want to ask your opinion on this because I always like to ask people because I love the answers people give. Is LeBron the GOAT or is it MJ or is it Kobe?
You really have to put me on the spot here.
I mean, this is
really tough. This
I
is
just
want to
know.
Okay, so if you're basing just off of legacy and rings, you're going to go Michael Jordan. I mean,
see, I'm with you there.
But here's the other thing is,
well, I'm biased for LeBron because he brought the Cavs the title.
I mean, yeah. And not only that, but a lot of the arguments that are made for LeBron is he has literally made the NBA what it is today, like had a huge impact. But here's the other problem about that. You could literally say that about most of the other big Steph Curry, the Steph Curry effect in the NBA.
Yeah.
There's a reason why many teams are just pulling up doing transition threes. It's because of him.
Yeah, it is.
And higher three-point shooting, and now they're not attacking the basket as often. So, I mean, you could I agree. LeBron definitely had a huge impact in the NBA. But I can't really say whether or not that he's better than MJ. I mean, you could put him on the same path for sure.
You could, and you know, the funny thing about this argument is it's all part of perspective and where you lie about it and you've seen.
It's also a little biased takes, too, behind it as well.
Oh, 100%.
If you're a Lakers fan, you're for sure saying that LeBron's like...
I have a friend who can go match for match with you, and he can tell you that LeBron is the best, better than Kobe, better than Michael Jordan.
Oh, I know.
And he can go match for match with you.
A lot of people could.
And I give him credit for it. We'll keep moving on. I think one of the biggest stories is how the Warriors got beat by 50 by Boston.
Yeah, that was and I thought the Warriors were starting to make some sort of a little bit of a push, but
well, I found it hilarious that Draymond Green goes, "Yeah, our game plan, we didn't know until 15 minutes before tip off."
Typical Draymond Green response there.
I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
First of all, one thing. I don't understand why Draymond's still kind of playing. I mean, I know why he's playing, but this dude is kind of a joke.
Yeah, get out of the league.
Get out of the league, kid. Yeah. You're done.
Exactly. The Cavs are going to do two things tonight. They play Boston tonight.
Oh, boy.
I believe it's tonight they're doing this. I know they're for sure doing the one thing. I don't know if they're doing the other thing. The first thing they are doing, they're going to do a tribute to Nick Gilbert. If you remember Dan Gilbert's son, Nick, he used to be big at the the lottery.
Right.
He used to be big at the lottery. They actually were doing this. They did this the other night on Sunday's game at halftime. They raised a banner into the rafters for him. So proud of that for the Cavs. Nick Gilbert forever with us, forever a Cavs legend. So, you know, I was happy about that. Good to see him, his name be put up in our arena. So I was happy about that. But one thing I thought you'd laugh at, Xander, the Cavs are giving out Travis and Jason Kelce bobbleheads.
That is actually a great no. I mean,
from Cleveland Heights to the Hall of Fame or something like that. They're from the Kelce bros are from Ohio. They're big Cleveland fans. If you remember last year, Travis Kelce threw out a wild first pitch at a Cleveland Guardians game, and then so the bobblehead is them both wearing Cavs jerseys. So that'll be cool. And then Allen Iverson is getting a statue at the Sixers arena. So that'll be interesting to see.
I'm not surprised about that.
Neither am I.
He's a legend, all-star legend.
I know. So, quick hits real quick. Donovan Mitchell is out for 3 games with a knee injury. Russell Westbrook got his surgery on his hand, so he's going to start healing for that. Scottie Barnes also got surgery on his hand, so both of them are in rehab now, starting to get ready to go. Kelly Olynyk and the Raptors agreed to a 2-year, $26.25 million extension. And then I think the weirdest story from last night or the previous night was Anthony Edwards was late for tip-off. did you see that?
I heard about it.
Yeah, so he was in the locker room, and he lost track of time. He had no idea they were tipping off. So they're tipping off, and he's walking out of the tunnel. And he's like, oh, God, I got to get out there. So he actually, it's the first time he did not start since, like, his rookie year, like the first or second game of the season.
I guess lesson learned here. Keep track of the time,
especially when you're an NBA player.
I mean, the time goes fast, and especially you just it's kind of silly. And you know, he made it out there and he got subbed in. So,
but standings wise, Celtics are 1, Bucks 2, Cavs 3, Knicks 4, Sixers 5, Magic 6, Heat 7, Pacers 8, Bulls 9, Hawks 10 in the East. For the West, Timberwolves 1, Thunder 2, Nuggets 3, Clippers 4, Pelicans 5, Suns 6, Kings 7, Mavs 8, Lakers 9, Warriors 10. Warriors are in the play-in right now. So they got stomped by 50, but hey, they're still in the play-in tournament as of right now.
They're still fighting.
They are still fighting. But yeah, my Cavs are 3 in the East. Your Clippers are 4 in the West. You and I both are hoping that we have a Clippers-Cavs showdown in the NBA Finals, and we both know that will not happen.
That's probably not going to happen. Celtics are too good.
Oh, I know. That's the thing. Cavs can't beat the Celtics right now, in my opinion.
I hate to tell you this, but I think Celtics are going to kind of roll the Cavs tonight.
Yeah, they might.
Well, I mean, we'll see. It could be close.
Well, Mitchell's out. We're dealing with some injuries.
That's
and
the
I'm
other
telling
thing.
You, this team is soft. They don't play hard basketball. Whatever. I don't like to get upset about my teams, especially during this time, unless I have a pressing issue to get mad about.
Correct.
But the games tonight, Magic at the Hornets, Celtics at the Cavs, Sixers at the Nets, Pistons at the Heat, Hawks at the Knicks, Pelicans at the Raptors, Spurs at the Rockets, Pacers at the Mavs, and Suns at the Nuggets to close out the night. So that'll be a good game. I have my eyes on that. But we're going to take a quick break before we head into our final two segments of the day. You are listening to KCOU 88.1 FM, and this is Coast to Coast.
them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Stylin', wildin', living it up in the city. Got Chucks on with Saint Laurent, gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty. I'm too hot. Call the police and the fireman.
Welcome back to Coast to Coast, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Troy Bettler.
And I am Xander Kobold.
You are doing well in your name today.
I think I'm starting to enter my era where it's like, I know my name.
I'm proud of you.
I think I actually know my name.
I'm proud of you for that. I think it also helps we're actually looking at each other this time.
Yeah. So we can. I can actually see you face to face now instead of having to like turn around.
Exactly. So we're going to talk college football for a second. Top 10 quarterbacks in college football. I told you earlier that Carson Beck was one based on this list. The list goes like this. Carson Beck, one. Dylan Gabriel, two. Quinn Ewers is three. Jalen Milroe, four. The Arizona quarterback at five. Ole Miss, Jackson Dart, six. Jalen Daniels from Kansas, seven. Shedeur Sanders from Colorado at eight. Cameron Rising from Utah, nine. Cameron Ward, Miami, 10. And then the next highest vote getter was Brady Cook.
So Brady Cook officially finished at 11th.
Yes. Brady Cook, 11. Riley Leonard, 12. Will Howard, 13.
Well, so here's.
Garrett Green's 14.
Yeah, go ahead.
15. 16. 17. DJ Uiagalelei.
Your favorite QB.
Hey, he's going to be good for Florida State.
Oh, I know.
I'm telling you that.
I know, and there's kind of a reason he joined. I'm pretty sure he was probably on the little wagon of FSU, got screwed in the very end. So.
Yeah, probably, but all right, let's go back to this. Let's break this down. I don't believe Carson Beck's the number one quarterback in
Absolutely
football.
Absolutely not. If they actually – I can't believe they actually thought he was number one. I mean, don't get me wrong. He was he had a good year. I mean, it's just that his – offense, in my opinion, is the reason he did so well.
Yeah, I mean, they say that. I mean, here's the issue. He's losing Bowers and McConkey. So I'm like, well, what are you going to do? They're saying that he has new transfers, and I understand that, but I still don't think he's the best. I would put Dylan Gabriel over him.
I honestly agree with you there. I honestly would. And here's the thing is, we don't know how he's going to work with those transfers.
Would you put Quinn Ewers in front of him? Because I would.
I think that's, in my
opinion, debatable.
It's debatable, but I'll tell you one thing.
Would you go as far as Jalen Milroe?
I mean, Jalen Milroe, I mean, based on stats, no, but Jalen Milroe I think is still top five.
Jalen Daniels does not deserve to be in this.
Oh, absolutely not. The fact that I saw that name at number seven, I'm like, dude, get out of here. No, no way. No way you're
Brady done. Cook's better than Jalen Daniels.
Brady Cook, and not to mention, in my opinion, I think Mizzou football is way better than KU football, and they always will be.
100%. And I wish we played them this year. We play them next year.
Next year at Faroe. It's going to be one heck of a game.
Yeah. Well, sorry, let me put it this way. 2 years from now. Because talking next year is this upcoming season,
yeah,
technically.
Yeah, yeah.
So 2 years from
two
now
years
is
from now,
Kansas game. So that'll be fun to watch. But yeah, I think Brady Cook should be seven instead of Jalen Daniels. But we'll see. Mizzou fans, if you do want to get your spring football kick, the Black and Gold game, March 16th, 1 p.m. start time. It's free admission at Faroe.
Should be a fun one for sure. I'm pretty sure all the new guys are going to be there. You're going to see the new transfers. Not only the new transfers, but I think you're going to see people like Williams Nwarney there as well.
Yeah, I'm excited to see him. He's going to help our team a lot this year. So I'm excited to see that, see how the football team does. It is only spring ball, though, so a lot of things can happen between spring and fall football. Last thing for college football. Over 10,000 players have opted into EA College Football 25. One of the biggest names that did not opt in, though, is Archie Manning.
I saw that.
He said he's focused on playing football. So, and you know, I sit here and I'm like, okay, I'm going to use Texas's third string quarterback. Wow. Quarterback number three for Texas. Nobody's using him.
Oh, my goodness.
We're using Quinn Ewers if we're going to use Texas.
Okay.
So?
Yeah, I guess, you know, hey, cool, you know? Maybe it doesn't want the Manning name in the game or something like that. At the end of the day, no, I don't care.
I agree with one of the comments on the post, which was, he's scared of that 60 overall rating.
He knows that's what he's about to get, and let's be real. If he actually were in the game, people would only use him as a joke.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Xander, we'll transition to your favorite part of the show. We'll talk baseball.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And starting off, we'll start with the new Matt Chapman deal that just happened about a few days ago. I think this past weekend, actually.
Yeah, it happened the second. So, yeah, this weekend, Chapman finalized a 3-year, $54 million contract with the Giants. On Sunday, it includes opt-outs after the first and second year of the agreement. He gets a $2 million signing bonus and a $16 million salary. So, Xander, tell me a little bit more about Matt Chapman. I know he's a heck of a player. I mean, I've seen him play a few times. I know he was really good with the Blue Jays for a while. What do you think the Giants are getting here with Chapman?
You know, I think he's a solid third baseman, and he had a great kind of year with the Blue Jays. Definitely a big bat, and, you know, it's going to help out the Giants' offense, especially with Jorge Soler and Jung-Ho Lee, I think it is. Man, I'm sorry. There's too many of these names in the MLB, so I'm just trying to, like,
You're doing
sure
better than me right now.
So,
good job.
So I think the Giants and, you know, the Giants with their pitching, and, I mean, if they put it together, I think there can easily be a top three team in the
NL West.
Mickey
might be happy by the end of the baseball season.
I hope not as an active Padres fan, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Going to the Phillies, Zach Wheeler, Phillies, 3-year, $126 million extension.
I think that's a smart kind of thing and smart idea, and they need him. He is their best pitcher from Philly, and he really destroyed my team in the playoffs, and kid's an absolute stud, so makes sense. Big deal there. I'm pretty sure, how much was it? It was like 3 years for 126.
Yeah, 3-year that begins in 2025, runs to the 2027 season.
That's a huge 126 extension.
With a salary of $42 million.
That is a huge extension for a starting pitcher.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I mean, he's entering the final year of his 5-year, $118 million. Now they got him. They bumped him even more pay for 3 extra years. I mean, when you're that good, I get it. But wow,
that's
all you can say is just wow.
That's the kind of money I wish I had.
I mean, he deserves it though.
Oh,
I mean,
big time.
3.06 ERA, first 4 seasons, 675 strikeouts. I mean, he won a Gold Glove last season.
I'm telling you,
he led the majors in winning in innings pitched in 2021. And he's that good. So, Phillies are going to have... People are going to have to deal with Zach Wheeler for a long time in the Phillies.
Oh, yeah.
So
That's for sure. So, moving on, we will talk about the 13-year career of the Reign, Josh Donaldson.
Yeah, former Guardian.
Former Guardian, his short stint with the Guardians, but most notably known for playing his MVP type season with the Blue Jays back
Correct.
In 2015.
Correct.
I think that's when we all knew that this guy was
this
special.
Guy had something. Yep.
Started his career drafted by the A's. Big time player. Definitely, and he was with the Yankees too at one point. I mean, this guy was all over the place. And
Yankees, Guardians, Blue Jays, Athletics, Twins. So he was all over the place, and he signed with the Brewers as well. That's where he played last year. And he had a terrible season. He batted 169 with 3 homers in 17 games.
I think he knew. I'm pretty sure he knew that his time was up.
Oh, he did.
And but I will say here, he had an absolute tremendous career. He helped the Blue Jays out a lot. In that 2015 season, he had 123 RBIs. And I mean, 41 bombs. I mean, back in his prime, he was, if not one of the top 5 best players in the MLB.
Yeah, exactly. So he is definitely one of the best players to remember, and he'll be a legend. I expect him to go to the Hall of Fame, but I don't exactly know.
I mean, we're gonna have to see about that. He did only based on like what I've seen, he just won one MVP. So we're gonna have to see. But I think as of right now, he's in my hall of very, very good.
Yep, and I agree with that. Another thing, we'll stay. Well, I guess we'll stay kind of not retirement, but more injury related. The Braves are struggling with Ronald Acuña Jr. He has an irritated meniscus. He's set for another look, so they don't know if he will be ready to go for opening day. They're expecting him to be ready. But I have a firm belief, man. They don't get Acuña going, the Braves are going to be are not going to be as good as they typically are.
Well, you saw, what was it, 2020? Oh, I mean, I would say it was tough for him to come back. Last 2022, he had kind of a big off year. He did not look like Acuña at all. But it was after he tore his ACL the year prior. And, I mean, it was tough. So once the Braves got to the playoffs, they were completely out of luck because they basically didn't have enough offense.
Yeah, exactly. One thing to mention real quick as well, Sonny Gray, Cardinals pitcher, he left yesterday's game after the Nationals. Against the Nationals in the second inning, he had a tight hamstring, so he should be okay. But they're just trying to keep it safe because we all know it is spring training. They don't want anybody really getting hurt just yet.
You can't let any, especially something like Sonny Gray, who will probably be their top starter next year. You can't have someone injured this early in the season and can't deal with that. So, yep, perfectly fine. Take him out.
Quickly, we'll look at the top 12 standouts so far from spring training. Number one has to be Elly De La Cruz for the Reds. He's played well. He's continued having. He had a great year last year. He's continuing to play well this year. We'll see if he can keep it going.
I'm telling you, quick little thing about Elly De La Cruz. This kid came out of absolutely nowhere.
Oh, yeah, he came out of nowhere.
And now I'm like, every time he's playing, I'm basically watching him. Mm-hmm. I mean, even as a Gardos fan, I mean, come on. You have to watch him. Now it's like, no matter if he's on the Reds.
Well, because the thing is, they're not in our division. So,
true, I mean, true, that is true.
I don't mind the Reds. I mean, I understand we battle for the Battle of Ohio all the time, but, you know.
That's different, though. That's a little different.
That's different, but, I mean, I still watch the Reds all the time because it's Ohio. So, you know, I mean, I respect it. I like Elly. I think he's a great player. Next player is Spencer Jones for the Yankees. He was he's the 84th ranked prospect. He's played real well. I mean, he had a 470-foot home run to right center. Jung-Hoo Lee for the Giants is number three.
Yep.
Scooball for the Tigers, four. Yuri Perez for the Marlins at five. Chris Sale for the Braves, six.
Oh, let me tell you, don't let Chris Sale, like.
Don't let him fool you.
Don't let him fool you. This guy is still going strong. And I still firmly believe that this dude's going to be nasty in 2024.
Exactly. Hurston, Waldrop, Braves have some good pitchers.
I'm telling you, man. I don't understand how the Braves didn't win it all last year. I think it was just their typical playoff joke. They kind of pulled the Dodgers there
with the
Phillies.
Bryce Warrecker with the Yankees is eight. Evan Carter with the Rangers is nine. Harry Ford with the Mariners is 10. James Wood with the Nationals is 11.
Former Padres, by the way, James Wood was dealt in the Soto trade, and it is now backfiring on us. I'm worried.
Really well. I mean, Wood is the number 14th prospect in baseball right now. He's a 6'6" lefty swinging outfielder who's already knocking bombs to the wall. So
I'm pretty sure he has about three or four home runs right now in spring training. This is honestly making me. This is the Padres effect. Every time they get rid of someone in the minors, this dude will probably be a MVP candidate once he gets called
exactly
a rookie of the year.
Number 12 is Nate Pearson for the Blue Jays. Got a good pitcher there. So those are the big top 12 standouts for baseball. Xander, we are 23 days away from opening day. It is almost here.
Opening day. We'll officially actually start in Korea on March, I think, either 22nd or 23rd.
Yep.
Padres and Dodgers series in Korea. If anyone wants to watch that game, wake up early. I will, unfortunately.
You
have
will
to
be
do
up.
I'll do this to myself, but I will be waking up at 5:05 a.m.
We're going to basically finish up here. There's two things we'll bring up real quickly. First thing I want to mention, congratulations to Alexia Jorge. She is the first woman to start at catcher to start at catcher in a college baseball game.
Interesting story. You're always seeing this. Women are starting to come up in the rankings here for MLB. I mean, in the minor leagues, the one of the Yankees, I think it was either double A or single A, couldn't remember which one, but one of their managers is a woman. So it is always great to see. You know, who knows, one day. And I believe one of the bench coaches from the Giants is also a woman too. So it's great to see all this progress, and you know, hopefully we can see more.
So Xander, last thing I'll bring up real quick before we get into our closing part of the show. Everyone's talking about Shohei. He's bringing a 714 average, you know. He's batting really well right now. But here's the thing, and I'm going to say this, and you can give me your take on it, but who cares, man? Who cares?
It's that spring training mindset.
Who cares?
Listen, we all know that Shohei Ohtani is like the child of the MLB. I mean, like, he's going to get absolutely posted no matter what he does, even if it's spring training. I mean, they posted his first home run and acted like it was like the best thing of all time, and I'm sitting over here like, oh great, he hit a home run, that doesn't even count. Wonderful,
right?
You know, good for him, I guess.
And
here's the thing: is we already know he's good. Like, we get it. He's great. He's good, and he's a Didn't he win MVP? Did he win MVP last season? I thought he.
He did.
Yeah, he's a two. He's already a two-time MVP. I mean, my goodness, man. I just don't understand. Like,
Whatever.
I know we're making a big deal out of it, but listen, he'll be good.
Hey, well, that'll do it for us for Coast to Coast. We should be here. We're going to do it. It is the bi-weekly schedule, I think we're still going
to
do.
If that's what you're willing to do, I'm fine waking up here and doing this again in the morning.
Well,
every
we're
week,
doing it for you guys. Hope everybody's enjoying listening to Coast. We moved to the A-stream because we figured, hey, let's catch some people as they're on the way to work. Catch them, give them a little sports rundown. But yeah, my name is Trey Bettler.
And I am Xander Kovold.
You have been listening to Coast, and we will probably see you in about a week or so.
Yeah. See you guys.